than 438 people who died from COVID-19 could have been spared in 2020 alone, and roughly 80,000 people with other diseases could have been saved that year. More than 207,000 additional COVID-19 deaths could have been averted in 2021 and the first 3 months of this year. With Medicare for All, the U.S. also could have avoided $105.6 billion in healthcare expenses associated with COVID-19 hospitalizations over the course of the pandemic, the study says. Healthcare reform is long overdue in the U.S. The study's lead author, Allison Galvani, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Modeling and Analysis at Yale School of Public Health, told Scientific American, adding, "Americans are needlessly losing lives and money." To arrive at their figures, Galvani's team compared the mortality risks of COVID-19 and all other causes of death among people with and without health insurance. The researchers amassed population characteristics of all uninsured Americans during the pandemic. Considering variables such as age-specific life expectancy and the heightened mortality that accompanies uninsurance. Because people without health insurance typically do not have a primary care physician, they are more likely to suffer from preventable diseases such as type 2 diabetes, and they also tend to wait longer to see a doctor when they fall ill, Scientific American explained. These two factors already contribute to higher mortality rates in non-pandemic years, and they compound the impacts of COVID-19. Comorbidities exacerbate the risk of the disease, and waiting to seek care increases the likelihood of transmission to other people. More than 28 million U.S. adults already lacked health insurance, and tens of millions more were underinsured prior to the start of the pandemic. Millions of additional workers were kicked off of employer-based plans when the coronavirus crisis resulted in widespread unemployment. Galvani said, "Many Americans feel secure in having good health insurance from their employer, but employer-based insurance can be cut off when it is needed most." In their new study, the researchers also predict how much insuring the entire U.S. population would cost and save. They estimate that a single-payer healthcare system would have generated a net savings of $459 billion in 2020 and would yield $438 billion in a non-pandemic year thanks to more efficient investment in preventive care, reduced administrative cost, and increased negotiating power for pharmaceuticals and technology. Galvani added, "Medicare for All would be both an economic stimulus and life-saving transformation of U.S. healthcare system. It will cost people far less than the status quo." Ann Keller, an associate professor of health policy and management at the University of California, Berkeley, who was not involved with the research, told Scientific American that she thinks the new study may underestimate the number of COVID-19 deaths that could have been prevented with universal health care because it doesn't sufficiently address the relationship between the single-payer systems and lower rates of chronic disease. "Having consistent access to care can prevent chronic disease from occurring and can ensure that patients who develop chronic disease have it better managed," said Keller, adding, "I would think that if one took that into account, the estimates of avoided deaths would be greater than the numbers reported here. The authors do acknowledge that their estimates are conservative with regard to the life-saving benefits of comprehensive universal health care that eliminates all costs to the patient, because underinsured people often forgo needed care just like their uninsured counterparts, but the paper focuses only on the latter. The researcher's message, Galvani stressed, couldn't be clearer. Universal single-payer healthcare is both economically responsible and morally imperative. An estimated 44% of U.S. adults, roughly 112 million people, continue to struggle to pay for health care. To eliminate the high premiums, deductibles, and copays that currently enrich the insurance industry, making health care unaffordable for tens of millions, including many who are nominally insured, Senator Bernie Sanders last month introduced the Medicare for All Act of 2022 alongside 14 Senate co-sponsors. We can either continue down the path of corporate greed and human suffering, and we can do what every other rich nation has done and guarantee universal coverage, Public Citizen President Robert Weisman said at the time, adding, Medicare for All is the realistic human and just choice.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A warm welcome to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We try to criticize the movie Hotel Mumbai in the last two episodes, but we haven't come to an end of the critique of the movie Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018, directed by Anthony Maras. And inshallah, we try to do that with my two guest speakers, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Hussein, salam alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We all know that this movie is based on some kind of true event which happened in 2008. Of course, the movie is produced 10 years after the true event, which happened on the 26th of November. Before we continue our critique of this movie, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
Any of you have wives, parents, families at home? There is no shame in leaving.
I've been here 35 years. This is my home.
I'm staying too.
I'm with you, sir.
I'm with you, sir.
Me too.
Guest is God, sir.
Follow me.
Here. Wrap that around your head. So I know you are one of them.
I'm not one of them.
Sir, madam. I just spoke to my boss. He says we should come upstairs to the Chambers Club. We'll be safer there. Why? You know something? How many there are where they are?
I'm not sure, sir, but Chambers is the most secure place in all that.
The Chambers is. Is the passage clear?
Yes, sir. We'll go via the service desk. We'll leave in a couple of minutes, okay?
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Mohammad Jad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Well, according to this part, Sayyid Abdullah, the chef, when the terrorist act happens in the hotel or within the hotel, the chef tries to take the initiative to gather and unite all the workers, all right, to help others like the hotel guests and patrons, all right? Yeah. Why are some or few people basically, morally speaking, and let's say strong enough in character, all right, psychologically speaking, maybe, regardless of the religion, as you can see, India is very famous for it. We have lots of religions in India. Everybody worships a god there, all right? Well, and regardless of the religion, ideology, and so on and so forth, but you can't see that kind of a strong and moral characteristic or trait in everyone, all right? We see it in great and ethical people, of course, right? Like Imam Hussein, for example, alayhi salam, or peace be upon him, to even relieve the soldiers by his talk, like on the eve or the night of the Tasua and Ashura. He tries to like tell them that there is no fault if you take a flight today or tonight, all right? So why do we see this in great people but not in everyone?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A leadership itself is a skill not everyone has. So we have that saying that says not everyone is born a leader. But there are people who are born leaders.
Exactly.
Right? So it depends on their upbringing in their own homes. If the parents themselves give the child enough character and enough confidence in himself, and they built him up from when he is young to take control of himself first and of things, he will develop that skill of being a leader. Sadly, a lot of people don't work on that in their kids. So they end up just being a normal, average,
ordinary people.
People. But some of them, that because that's developed into them, so they even they themselves in matters of life, they always want to be dominant. They always want to be leaders. They always want to lead. And even when they choose their job, they choose jobs where they are in position.
But not every leader is brave.
Bravery is a different issue. It's a different characteristic. You know, it's a different trait altogether. So sometimes, so these people, like especially like in the movie with the chef, he himself, he's a chef. Mm-hmm. So he has that power, mm-hmm. and he has people under him.
Yes.
And he knows how to control them. So now there's an event that presented itself that required a leader. It was like, okay, I got the mind, mm-hmm. I got the skills.
Yes.
Now it's time for me to stand up. Mm-hmm. So some people, they have that into them. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they seek these kind of positions. And when you deal with people once or twice and you become responsible for them,
yes.
then it becomes one of these traits that it you know, it kind of lives with you. Mm-hmm. I give you an example for myself. Nice. I was at a certain time, I was a manager of a company, right? So I had a lot of people working under me. And I bring them and I bring my stuff and I speak to them. I give them a pep talk. I tell them what's going on, stuff like that. And, you know, I give them orders. I show them around.
Yes.
So when I walk around and event presents itself, if I don't see anyone taking control of the situation, I jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of embedded into me that someone has to lead. You know what I mean?
Natural movement.
Mankind, our nature, that we need someone to lead us. Right? So if this kind of skill has been developed into you,
yes.
you will jump in. So this chef in here, in this particular case, the workers,
yes.
I mean, even in terms of rank, they are lower than him. He's a chef. He's higher than everyone else. The guests, they have no idea what to do. So he kind of trooped his own staff. He was like, okay, this is what we need to do. And they marshed the task. So he had that skill of leadership.
I see. Have you ever been to that kind of situation, like going around?
I have been in situations, but not as extreme. Like, uh-huh. we've been into places where things has gone wrong and we need to take charge and you need to march people, put people into positions and stuff like that. So whether it's in a workplace, whether it's in a camp, whether it's outside, I have been in such situations. But, I mean, not extreme as, you know, being in a gunfight and in battle. But, yeah. So, and people, like I said, sometimes they themselves, they need that leadership themselves because, like I said, they feel like lost. But once they see someone is in charge,
I see.
People themselves, they come in and they start to help as well. Mm-hmm. Like they start to form a group.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018. In this program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
Miss Kashani, please stop it.
Open it.
Please come and sit there, please.
I have to be with my family. Open the door.
I know it's hard, but police are very near now.
Everyone's coming. We've been here 6 hours. 6 hours for what? No one's coming for us. My baby's out there. Please open the door.
She's right. Open the door.
I want to go.
Me too. Please, please, we cannot evacuate everyone without being detected.
It's not everyone. No.
Six people.
That's all. We're going. Open the door.
Sir, if they hear us going, we will all die.
They know we are here. If they come back, we all die. If they bought the building, we die. If we leave, maybe we die. We take our chances.
These images taken around 4 a.m. show the moment security forces and angry citizens confronted the two gunmen, beating them with sticks. The gunman had earlier hijacked a police van and are thought to have been behind the CST station attack. Both men suffered multiple bullet wounds, from which one died, while the other, Ajmal Kassab, is now in custody.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. There is the news person reporting about, you know, one of the terrorists being captured and interrogated by the police in that scene. And he answers that their mentor or the mastermind behind the attack told them that you are Muslims and infidels defraud the Muslims and Middle East and the Eastern people, and they are the ones that left you in poverty. They left you behind and they went ahead. These are exact quotes from the guy, all right?
Yeah.
So they're talking about basically jihad. My first question is that what is jihad? And then even if it's true, is it a good excuse to take it out on the Westerners and revenge them this way through terrorism? Sayyid Abdullah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First, let me try to answer that from an Islamic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The word jihad in Arabic is taken or derived from the root word juhd, which means to persevere and put an effort. Okay?
Yes.
So anything that requires effort or that requires perseverance, mm-hmm. we call it jihad or juhd. So we consider a person who works for his family is a mujahid.
Yes.
A person who tries to achieve something, we call him mujahid. Mm-hmm. A mujtahid, which is an Islamic scholar, we give him that name because he puts an extra effort in trying to extract the laws from the Quran and the hadith. So the word itself, it does not mean holy war. Mm-hmm. It does not mean to kill the infidels.
Yes.
Rather, this is one of the words in Arabic that I consider to be hijacked. It's a hijacked word. Mm-hmm. They took it, they gave it a meaning, and people believed it. It never meant a holy war. Jihad is from putting jihad. Now, if I go to war, it's a form of jihad because I have to go fight, I have to carry weapons, I have to do a lot of things.
Exactly.
So there's juhd involved. There is struggle. There is a perseverance. There is a work being in the process.
And not to mention, we have a hadith, if I'm not mistaken, that the greater jihad is something else against yourself, your nafs.
Exactly. When they came back, I said, you finished the minor jihad, now it's a major jihad.
Yes.
Major jihad means that you go to struggle with yourself. You're trying to prevent yourself from committing sins and fighting your desires. So anything that's struggle in English, we refer to it as jihad, which is taken from the word juhd, which is to put effort into something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that term has been hijacked and it's been labeled as an Islamic term that means holy war. So nowhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, there is something called jihad. He says jahidu. Jahidu means like put an effort to do something.
Yes.
Right? So this is in terms of when we talk about jihad Islamically. When it comes to the Western media or the Westerners, they have taken that kind of concept and they try to apply it to anything that happens. Say, okay, this is an Islamic jihad. All right? I mean, Islam itself condones any form of killing. And Islam also condones any form of jihad, if we want to use that term as well, if it is, as we call, ibtida'i, if you are initiating.
Mm-hmm.
In Islam, it's haram to initiate any form of jihad.
Exactly.
The only time that you're allowed
to fight. We
never
had any kind of war in the Prophet time. Right?
Never. You never initiate any form of jihad unless you have to defend yourself. So defending yourself requires a form of perseverance or juhd or jihad.
Yes.
But do I have the right to go kill innocent people or kill infidels? Of course not. Never said in the Quran, never said in the hadith. Actually, the Quran and the hadith are against it. If you say you kill one person as if you kill the humanity, that's what the Quran says. So under what circumstances do you give yourself the right to go kill infidels? Islam condones it. Where did you bring that concept from?
Yes.
But like I said, the West, they found that as a camel or as a mule to attack Islam with.
Yes. So no Muslims shout, let's go jihading or jihadiering on the Westerners, for example.
No,
or the infidels.
Exist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein, for your being here with us in the studio of RIB English Radio. And for this program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program, we try to criticize the movie Hotel Mumbai, but we haven't finished it, and inshallah we'll resume criticizing this movie in the upcoming episode. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Apparently there's been a big shooting at the CST station.
No doubt. You're very safe here.
Security, can we get security now?
Let them in!
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a piece of advice from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, on the necessity of avoiding a social ill that has unfortunately pervaded the contemporary world. The most hateful thing to Allah amongst the lawful acts is divorce.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriyadh. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives. Japanese engineers have invented a four-legged robot that can easily move across rough terrain while carrying heavy loads. Japan's Kawasaki Heavy Industries has developed a quadrupled robot, believing it can help with labor shortage in the country's aging society. Dubbed Bex after the wild goat species Ibex, the robot features large curved horns. It can walk over rough terrain or move faster on smoother surfaces using wheels tucked in its underbelly. Bex was designed to perform tasks and carry humans in agricultural settings, thereby answering a labor crunch in rural Japan.
Five young and rare Bonelli's eagles born on a breeding farm in France are taking a journey to Spain where they will be released into the wild. These eaglets were born in captivity, which is a rare feat for this endangered species. Three of the five are ready to be released and have been fitted with GPS microchips for tracking purposes. Their initial release date was delayed because of several weeks of bird flu, which made traveling impossible. The other two eagles are too young to be reintroduced and are still being hand-fed from behind the curtain. They will make the journey sometime in July. The breeders, however, are worried about how to sustain the program as their birds begin to age.
Aigle de Bonelli,
The Bonelli's eagle is a species that is relatively scarce. In France, we must have about 40 couples, something like that, who produce about 20 chicks per year. Here, we have 5 chicks, but my birds are very old. Still, 5 chicks is not nothing for a species which relies on a small reproduction number.
Pacto also says his 5 pairs of eagles are aged between 18 and 30 years, and 3 of them are now too old to breed. He says the number of Bonelli's eagles had dropped dramatically since the 1980s, mainly to electrocution on high voltage lines. Due to the reintroduction program, the population of these eagles has nearly doubled over the past 2 decades. Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animal, or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
China launches 3 astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The 3 blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a 3-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and two more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the three parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to two more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found two additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there will be many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warned that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil.
Chinese scientists are establishing a meteorological monitoring station at an altitude of 8,800 meters on Mount Komolangma, the world's highest peak on the China-Nepal border. The 13 members of the research team started the trek towards an 8,300-meter base camp on Mount Komolangma from a 7,028-meter camp on Tuesday morning. They reached the camp in the afternoon and went on the last section of the arduous journey up on Wednesday morning. If the station is established successfully, it will replace the one at an altitude of 8,430 meters set up by the British and U.S. scientists on the mountains in 2019. It will be the world's highest of its kind, according to the Chinese Academy of Sciences.
A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular. The engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
the White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40-millimeter tempered glass.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friend, ladies and gentlemen, Salaamu Alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. And today we're going to speak about extravagance in the view of Islam.
I pray to God, my heart, soul and body, every single day of my life, with every breath I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Friday, is the 17th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-Furqan, verse 67. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما.
And they are those who, when they spend, do so not excessively or sparingly, but are ever between that justly moderate.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is interesting that this verse speaks in a way that it takes the issues of spending something which is certain and exists, so that it does not need mentioning, for it is one of the given duties of any man. Thus, it talks about the way and manner of spending. It indicates that they have a just spending and are neither prodigal nor grudging. They neither spend so much that their wife and offspring gets hungry, nor they are so economical that other persons do not get help from them, and there is ever a firm station between the two.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
extravagance in the view of Islam. The Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his family, was once walking along and saw his companion doing wudu, or ablution. The man was using a lot of water. "What are you wasting, O Sa'd?" he asked. The man was surprised. "Is there waste in water of wudu too?" he asked. "Yes," said the Prophet, "even if you are beside a running stream." It is sometimes difficult to discern if we are being extravagant or not. If we spend within our means, when is it that we are being extravagant? The following hadith sheds some light on it. A man asked Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, "Can a believer have 10 items of clothing?" "Yes," replied the Imam. "And 20? "Yes," said the Imam. "That is not from extravagance. Extravagance is when you make your formal clothes your work clothes."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about extravagance. Another one is moral corruption. Some people take pride in committing sins, and they find themselves powerful enough. They imagine they are powerful enough not to consider the religious instructions as devised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the infallible imams. So they in order to compensate the personality shortage, they come to do some jobs and acts not endorsable and strictly rejected by Islamic standards. Another parameter in this connection is emulation and taking other people as our role models. If we take the infallibles and high-ranking religious personalities as our role model, we find that we can reach the higher steps of perfection. If someone, for example, takes a good moral role model like an infallible imam or, for example, a very successful, let's say, academic figure as his or her role model, he or she will follow that way. Otherwise, if someone takes, for example, a hooligan or, for example, a person who never considers any moral standard as his or her role model, this person will lead a very unfortunate way and unfortunate life because his or her role model hasn't been anything, considerable. Another cause is exuberance, okay? Unfortunately, in many people and in many families, we find that some people may take pride in leading a very extravagant type of life. We find that, for example, millions of apples, millions of loaves of bread and so on may be spoiled and may be put away as into the garbage. And in this way, we find that it harms our economic. Perhaps another reason or another cause is colonialism. Actually, colonial powers have tried to keep other nations, especially those nations that have good natural resources, away from the highways of perfection and highways of development. So we are expected to be able to discern the bad way or the unfavorable practices that they have devised for other people to come. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special under the title of Israf, Now the social harms of Israf. Among the social harms of Israf is the creation of class strife and struggle. One of the causes behind the creation of class strife is that of Israf. This is because some individuals with their high level of wealth believe that they can spend this wealth in any manner in which they please, even if it goes against the rules of Islam and their society. Over time, this attitude helps to first create classes and then to create strife and rancor between them. The decline of government is another harm, social harm of Israf. Another one of the social consequences of Israf is the decline of government. Ibn Khaldun, one of the Muslim sociologists, has mentioned that whenever a government would become afflicted with Israf and extravagance, it would soon fall into decline. Let's look at the tips to avoid extravagance. Overpaying for convenience. Think about everything you buy. Where are they the cheapest? In bulk? Where are they the most expensive? Vending machines, convenience stores. Convenience is a wonderful thing when you have a crying kid or stressed out after a long day. Convenience is a wonderful thing. It becomes a problem when convenience becomes common. You can buy a big bag of chips for $3 or you can buy small bags for $1 from the vending machine. One time? No, big deal, we're not, saddest year. But all the time? No. Plan ahead and save that money for something that is important to you.
I know once when I talked about it, somebody came to me that, you know, somebody else was having, he was saying, well, you know, what's the harm? Let the extra water go, it goes back into the earth. But what about the energy and the time and the resources used in taking out the water? Why did you do that? It's going waste, isn't it? Because you're putting it back into the earth. So there is Israf there in the resources, time, and energy spent in that. Especially those who have this habit of doing their best shayri when they are in shower. Don't exercise your shayri and poetry in shower. You know, just use minimum. We have, unfortunately, you know, in the olden days when we have not new technology, we would just take water in the bowl or the utensil and then do wuzu, it was easy. Now with running water, the taps, mashallah, I'm reciting all the du'as and, you know, doing this, and the water is just going down the drain. Then I pick again and, you know, and this is what I would say, if you really want to be with new technology, then use those taps which have sensor motion. Where you get the water, once your hand is removed from it, you know, it stops. I think even our marakis, all our masajid and Imam Bargah should have that. When we talk about electricity, if you are not using a room, you know, just letting it be on, it's a wastage of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is where we talk about the issue of tabzir.
was all from today's special. And for this episode, we spoke about extravagance. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi aman Allah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.